Okay.
Hello, so welcome. Today we're doing two things. One, I'm going to show you three more examples, or up to three more examples, of computing volumes of various things, just continuing what we did last time. That will take 15 or 20 minutes. Then right after that, you'll take a quiz, which will just be two of the homework problems. You won't need your own paper for the quiz. I already have the paper. And,
So that's what we're doing. Any questions about the quiz or anything else?
Yes.
If we finish early, should we do anything special?
Actually, yeah, if you want to write something about the course so far, like what you've found helpful that I've done, what you don't like that I've done, that would be useful. But it won't be anonymous because it's on the quiz. Oh, actually, you can make it anonymous just by putting a different piece of paper. I really appreciate your feedback about how the class is going. But otherwise, you can leave early. Otherwise, you can leave early after you're done with the quiz. Okay, any other questions about the course so far? All right, I have a question for you. Has anybody looked at the notes that I've been putting on the website?
I just found that.
Okay, are they useful?
Yes.
Okay, so you want me to continue doing that? Okay, good. What about the recordings? Has anybody used them at all?
Yeah.
Okay, at least one person? Okay, good. All right, so here we go. So I'm going to tell you how to find yet another neat volume. This is a little bit surprising how it works.
Me too, of course.
So let's say you have a plot, and it looks like this basically. Okay, so this is, we're looking at a plot. It comes around like this.
Is that?
It's a plot that you would put something in. And it's thick. It's what you get by rotating this around the vertical axis. Okay, so you have a picture of that in your mind. It's just like a bowl or a pot that you put your spaghetti in. Okay? What we're going to do, so it's solid right here on the edges. And then inside it, it's sort of like a wooden bowl that's thick. We want to find out how much wood there is in there. Now I'll describe this precisely to you. Obviously this description isn't at all precise. Here's what this is more precisely. You take the graphs of y equals x squared and y equals x cubed, and you'll get two different graphs. Can I draw in here? So here's y equals x squared and y equals x cubed. And they cross right here at x equal to 1. And what you do is you take the area right here and you just rotate it around the y-axis, and that's how you construct the bowl that I've drawn over there. So again, these are the graphs of y equals x squared and y equals x cubed. Now what we're going to do is find the volume. Okay, so what do we do? Yes?
We chop it into simple pieces.
Right, we chop it into little pieces and find the volume of all of those by computing a certain integral. And it's really, I gave you a formula last time. If you have a blob, and you can write down a function that gives the cross-sectional area of the blob, and you integrate that function from here to there, then you'll get the volume of the blob. So in this particular case, the blob is our bowl, our wooden bowl, which is to emphasize the thickness. It's a golden bowl, looks like that. So what we'll do, I'll write down the integral right here. So we're going to integrate from 0 to 1 of the cross-sectional area. So let's see. So I'm doing the cross sections, since I'm rotating it around like this, the cross sections are over, there's one for each value of y as y goes from 0 to 1 up here. Okay, so it's sideways from the formula I showed you before, but that shouldn't confuse you. So for each value of y, you have some little piece of area here, or volume, and you integrate and end up being the whole thing. So you just need to figure out what, as a function of y, the area of this thing is. That's kind of tricky because, well, it's always kind of tricky actually finding the cross-sectional area. You often see the picture and you think, oh, I should be able to do that. And it can sometimes be a little tricky. That's why I'm showing you a bunch of examples. So for a given value of y, what is this point right here? How far away from, what is the value of x right there?
That's that.
Okay. Well, so this is the graph of y equals x squared. If I fix a value of y, in terms of y, what is x?
Square root of y.
Square root of y, right? This point right here, if this is a point over some x and it's y, as a function of y, that point is square root of y, right there. So, see, this is x equals square root of y. Is that clear? If at a given value of y, you want to figure out what the distance is, it's square root of y. Here. And now for the other one, what is it? Cube root of y. That's what x is. Here, x is equal to cube root of y. So now I can figure out what the area of this annulus is. If you rotate this little piece around, that is, if you take your bowl and you were to chop your bowl into lots of little thin slices, what would you get? You get a bunch of washers, right? Or a bunch of like little round things. So right here, when we chop it, we'll get something. And we can figure out what the area is. You just take the area of the outside one minus the area of the inside circle, or the inside disc. So there's one area that's, so what's the, so the area as a function of y is equal to the area of the big circle. Let me just draw it sideways. So sideways for given y, this is what it looks like. The big one has radius square root of y, or actually cube root of y, and the small one has radius square root of y. So to find the area of this part right here, just take the big area minus the small area. So the big area is pi r squared, so that's cube root of y squared, and the small area is pi square root of y quantity squared. Okay, so as a function of y, that's the cross-sectional area. So that's pi y to the 2/3 minus y. Now, in order to compute the volume of our bowl, all we have to do is integrate from 0 to 1 that function, and that's a pretty standard thing to do. Let's do it. So the volume of the bowl is the integral from 0 to 1 of the area of a cross-section, and then this is the integral from 0 to 1 of this function that gives the area, pi r squared, pi r big squared minus pi r small squared, and that's pi y to the 2/3 minus y, dy. And this is a number, and that number will be the amount of wood that's contained in our bowl, or that composes our bowl, that our bowl's made out of. So let's figure out what it is. 3/2 pi y to the, that's not right, sorry. 2/3 plus 1 is 5/3, so 3/5. Y to the 5/3
minus 1 half y squared, elevated from 0 to 1, and then don't forget the pi. So, so now you just put 1 in, and the powers become simpler. It's 3 fifths minus 1 half, which is... So pi over 5. Okay, so yes, please. Any questions or comments?
As I did the calculation earlier, wasn't 3 fifths minus 1 half and 1 tenth?
Yeah. Let's see, 6 minus 5, 1 tenth. Yeah, let's do that too quickly on the board. Okay, so what did I do? I had some volume that I wanted to find. I know directly, basically, from what I derived last time, that if you can chop up your object into lots of little slices and find the area of each slice and then integrate the area function, you'll get the volume. So what I did was I found the area using the formula pi r squared, the area of a disk, of a or the area inside of a circle, and I did it for the big circle and the smaller circle as you rotate around. The smaller circle had area pi y, and the bigger circle had area pi y to the 2/3. So you subtract the two, and this is what you end up getting. Okay, any questions? All right, let's do another example. So, a very famous volume that you might know is the volume of a sphere. Let's just derive, just from what we've seen so far in the class, exactly what the volume of a sphere is. Okay? So we have a perfect round sphere. And we'll find the volume. Again, you apply the same principle. You want to find the volume of something, you do that by integrating the area of cross sections. And an important thing to do at this point is make a good choice of your coordinates so that the cross sections are reasonably easy to describe and find the area of. So here this is supposed to be a sphere of radius r. So this point right here is little r. And what we'll do is, just for simplicity, and because we're going to have to compute an integral explicitly, I'll just integrate from 0 to r the cross-sectional area like this, and then take the result and multiply it by 2, and that will give me the volume of the whole sphere. So I'm just going to write down an integral for the volume of half of the sphere. So we'll find the volume of this half. So let's do it. The volume is equal to twice the integral from 0 to r of a of x dx, where a of x is the area of a cross-section of the sphere at the point x. So now all we have to do to deal with this problem is two things. One, we have to figure out what the area of the cross-section is. And two, compute that integral. So first, what is the area of a cross-section? Well, the key observation that you have to make is that if you take a perfect sphere and squish it down flat onto the board, that is, if you project it, the result is a circle. And that tells you what this point is and what this point is as a function of r. This is a circle of radius r in the plane, and so it has an equation x squared plus y squared equals r squared. So you can use that to figure out what this point is. The circle that I'm drawing kind of in the background, if you just forget about the three-dimensional part, that has equation x squared plus y squared equals 1. I mean, not 1, but r squared. And now that tells you what this point is as a function of x. You can just solve. So, for a given x, you need to solve for y as a function of x. That will give you the area, not directly, because you still have to use the formula pi r squared, but we'll get to that. So this area is going to be pi times something squared dx. Let's figure out what that something is. So solving this equation, we find that this point right here, if this is x, then that point right there has coordinates x, comma, square root of r squared minus y minus x squared. All I'm doing is taking the circle and figuring out what this point is. Every point on the circle satisfies the equation x squared plus y squared equals r squared. So for a given x, all I do is just solve for x. I mean, all I do is solve for y in terms of x. That gives me, it doesn't give me a, but it gives me this height. And now, what is the radius of the disk that we need to compute the area of? So we have a cross section. What's the radius? I've written it down, so you just. So look at this picture.
R squared minus x squared.
That's right. But as a function of x, what's the radius here? As a function of x, what is the radius? Think about it. Square root of this. This is it. This is the radius right here. It's square root of r squared minus x squared. So that's it. So the radius is that, and now it's pi times the radius squared. That radius is square root of r squared minus x squared. And now multiply off and do the integral. Any questions about why is this? Yes, please.
So what's r in that formula right there?
R is an input. So somebody in the room yells out an R, and I want to give a nice formula that will immediately allow me to yell out back the volume of the sphere of radius R. So more specifically, R is a positive, and I haven't specified it. It could be 2, it could be 1, it could be 27.8. The neat thing, though, is that once we get this formula, given any R, you can immediately tell me what the volume of the sphere is of radius R. But in the diagram, R is the radius of the sphere. Maybe that was what you were asking. So given an R, you can consider a sphere of radius R, and then try to figure out what the volume of that thing is. And what we're doing is we're just chopping it up into vertical slices, and then computing this integral, which encodes the idea of taking various limits. So let's figure out what we get. So 2, and then here, integral from 0 to R, I'll put the pi on the outside, r squared minus x squared. It's kind of nice that the square root canceled out with the square. And it's 2 pi x r squared x squared minus 1/3 x cubed between 0 and r. 2 pi r cubed minus 1/3 r cubed, and that's 4/3 pi r cubed, which might actually sound familiar to you.
So you've just figured out a formula which, given any sphere, will tell us what the volume of that sphere is. For example, a sphere of radius 1 has volume
4/3 times pi. We just did that by figuring out what the cross-sectional areas are. Just to kind of draw a diagram where we move the coordinate system so it looks a little more like last time, for each value of an x along here, we figured out what the area is of a cross-section of the sphere. Once we did that, we integrated. The hardest part was figuring out what the area of the cross-section is, I think. Yes?
So that's just for a little portion?
Yeah, so what a of x is, over there our coordinate axes are right here. But, what the a of x is supposed to give you is the area of a cross-section. You take the sphere, you chop it somewhere, and then the result, we talk about really, really thin slices, like infinitely thin, that has an area, and that's what you have to get as a function of x. You integrate the area along some range of x values, you get the volume. Any questions?
The tricky part isn't the calculus, the tricky part's the, I guess, analytic geometry that goes into figuring out what, for example, you know, just given a sphere, how, and a point x, how high is it? How far is it from this axis up to the top of the sphere like that? That's the sort of thing that's pretty hard. Let's see, do I want to do another example? Here's a nice one. So,
imagine two spheres get thrown at each other really hard, and and get smacked into one another. Like so. So you have these two spheres and their shape doesn't change at all, but they get squashed together. And they have very, very strong centers, so right at the very center, both of them stopped. So you have two spheres, and they're pushed together, and they both stop right at the middle. So there are two spheres that are together, and this one is right at the middle. The edge of one is right at the middle of the other, and conversely. Let's figure out exactly how much volume there is where they're together. So how much sphere has been lost from the universe as these two spheres got smushed together? Okay, is the problem clear? Yeah, okay, let's figure it out. We have our standard principle. We integrate a cross-sectional area. We can figure out the cross-sectional area explicitly in a formula. Then we can solve this problem with ease just by applying techniques of integration. So here we go. So I'm gonna make the, So one thing that might make it a little bit easier is just to notice that if we were to compute what happens on this side and double it, we get the total volume. So we'll just figure out what the volume is on that blackboard, on this piece of slate, and then on the other side we'll just compute it by doubling it. Okay? So now here's how we can do that. Now here's the trick. We'll make the axes exactly like before.
I should use a different color.
Avoid confusion. So here's the x-axis, here's the y-axis, and on the other z-axis. Notice this sphere, it's exactly the same sphere as before. And so the cross-sectional area function, we already figured it out. It's exactly as before. For this sphere, not on the whole blob. So we're trying to find
the orange part of our
blob in this particular case. So on the blackboard over here, the cross-sectional area is kind of confusing, but at least on the blackboard over here, the cross-sectional area is exactly the same as it was before. For values of x, from here over, the a of x is identical to what I had before. So in order to solve this problem, all I have to do is integrate from the same function as before from here to there. So here we go. The orange area, the orange volume, is equal to the integral from, I don't really know yet, somewhere, to r, so I don't know what this bottom limit is yet, of the same function a of x dx, multiplied by 2 because I'm not taking into account the other side, or in order to take into account the other side. So all we have to do is figure out where this point is and we'll be home free. So let's see if we can just figure out where this point is. how far does it look like, if this is r right here, how far does it look like you've gone to get halfway down?
Yeah.
R over 2, you're right. Good, you got that. Now you got it. There's a symmetry argument. The distance in each direction has to be the same, so it has to be r over 2. But you're right, the picture doesn't lie, it really is r over 2. Compute this integral. Remember, the a of x is exactly the same as before, and you get it. So this is integral from r over 2 to r of the function that I wrote down over there, r squared minus x squared. And the antiderivative that we use is the same one as before. The only change now is that the endpoints of integration are, instead of being from 0 to r, it's from r over 2 to r.
Pi's included, right?
Yeah, we definitely want our pi, so I missed that. Thank you for including the pi. So 2 pi, same formula as before, r cubed minus a third r cubed. I'll just write that as 2 thirds r cubed. And that's from r over 2 to r. Now this, sorry for running out of word space, is 2 pi. So I can pull the 2 thirds out, so 4 thirds pi. That should be an x. R cubed minus r over 2 cubed 4 thirds pi 1 eighth, so 7 eighths r cubed, and then that's 7 6 r cubed, unless I made a mistake. I get a different answer in my notes. I left off. I must have made a mistake. In my notes, I get 5 twelfths pi r cubed. So, what did I do wrong? I don't think I have time to try to figure out what the slight calculational error might be, but you see what the idea is. You integrate from here over, and you get a number. So any comments or questions? All right, so now I'm going to give you these quizzes.
What?
When I did it by myself, I got 5 twelfths pi r cubed. So it's slightly different, but not much different. So regarding the quiz, do you have the same for the quiz? Yeah, just lay on the dozen of questions. And you should just do as well as possible. Very much good. Just write down, there's only one case. Just put the time and write down. Well, don't even worry about it. Just put the TA time. It asks for your TA information. It's fine to just put the time. I'll let you concentrate.
No.
If you don't, you'll get a zero.
I'm sorry. Do the slices fill out all the things or what?
Yeah.
Section number 20.
Yeah, I think you can do that.